in a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, where prophecy meets science. Join host Peter Kling, the Einstein of biblical prophecy, as he uncovers ancient truths with modern insight. Prepare to see the world in a whole new light. And now your host, Peter Kling.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining. I certainly do appreciate that everyone is tuned in and listening. And we're going to do some real explaining tonight. We got a very interesting subject, and we're starting Revelation 18, and now we can actually see the outline here. But Revelation 18, 2 says, "She has fallen. Babylon the Great has fallen. Not yet, but she is falling. Babylon the Great is falling." And we have the world evidence to see this biblical prophecy come true. Again, that's Revelation chapter 18, verse 2. And so look it up online and read all of chapter 18, because what we are looking at is the beginning of that, but it's taken a while to get it started. It actually started during Trump's first term in office. And so that's where our story begins here tonight. We're going to do a little retrospective back into ancient Babylon and historically identify Babylon the Great and then track it through history. But what we are seeing now starts back in really 2018, from the best guess, based on what we are seeing via world events. And the power of Babylon the Great, or Babylon the Great, is actually three city-states. Riscola, do you know which city-states they are? And how they connect? Right, let's go to the first three city states.
I'm not. I have a suspicion on how they may connect, but I think the three would be the Vatican, UK, the city of London, and Washington D.C. I think the Vatican, I guess, would be the spiritual end, the
religious end.
Yeah, and yeah. The London, I'm not sure. The D.C., I guess, would be the arm, the strong arm.
Yeah. Well, the city of London would actually be the financial end of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how many times have you heard the saying, follow the money?
Yeah.
And so that's what we need to do. And not too many people have really followed the money. As much as that gets told, as much as that gets said, how many people actually follow the money? So with that, we're going to reflect back to 2016, and Trump gets elected. He becomes inaugurated, and we get a Russia situation going on, and several impeachment attempts, and none of them were successful. Even when they tried to get him on criminal charges, it was ridiculous. I think he was facing somewhere in the 90s, 93 or 96 criminal indictments. Okay. They were going through a lot of trouble to take him out, weren't they? Now, can you think of any other interesting things, Ruscala, looking at Trump's first term?
I think for those of us who voted for him, saw what was going on, and interpreted, at least I did, I can't speak for others, but I interpreted what was going on as he was somebody who did not fit in the system. He was going to disturb the system. Clearly he had done that throughout the process of the very beginning of him saying he's going to run for president. I'm not sure if we're dealing with the same guy anymore, Peter. I mean, I'm very upset at some things that he's done, but we're going to get off track. Let's get back on track. I apologize. Go ahead, Peter.
Sorry about that. You're correcting your observation. But there's actually more than one Trump. And people say, what do you mean there's more than one Trump? Well, go look at the reopening and the dedication of the Church of Notre Dame. We got to see short Trump looking up at 6'3" Prince William. I thought they were on different steps, you know, because Trump was closer to the front. So I figured, oh, okay, he's the next step down. Nope. Standing in the same place at the same time at the same level, Trump is looking up and he can't be any more than 5'10". Now, wait a minute. Donald Trump is known to be 6'3", should be looking Prince William right in the eye. Instead, he is physically looking up to him. Ah, interesting Trump to play. Keep in mind, Trump cards. However, we have seen the real Trump, and then just recently with Melania and the king and queen. I can never understand why Camilla is the queen. But anyway, well, maybe there's another meaning for that word. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod. Anyway, but they came to the United States, and Prince Charles isn't the original Prince Charles. Take a look at his height, stature, and then start looking at photographs, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Oh, people get short when they get old. Yeah, not that much. Anyway, but we do see an event which happens in 2000. We saw actually two different events. And Ruscala, could you post the first picture? And we've all seen this picture before. Well, wait till it pops up. But Trump was classified as a buffoon, his buffoonery. And this was his first trip to England, to the city of London.
This is the one with the Queen?
Yes. There we go. It's actually double. But yeah, you know, oh, Trump stepped in front of the Queen. Oh, and what was he doing?
Peter, even more than that, he has his back to her.
Yeah. That was the buffoonery of it. How could he turn his back to the Queen? Unless she wasn't the Queen anymore. Think about that. But there's actually... if you watch the complete video of this, they start to inspect the troops, and the Queen nudges Trump to go ahead of her. Wait a minute. Very awkward situation. And, you know, do what you got to do, get it over and done with. And Trump basically ignored her and was paying attention to the troops. Now, why would a president of the United States be reviewing another nation's troops by himself, essentially, Now, here's this is the one when he was over in England last year, and this is with Prince King Charles III, and again,
he's in front of him, Peter.
Yeah, clearly in front of him. Clearly. As a matter of fact, you've got to be, I'd say, what, two strides, three strides, maybe four strides ahead. It's hard to tell because of the, you got to know what telephoto or what lens they were using on this, because the longer the depth of field, the image starts to get flattened. The higher the magnification of the lens actually makes that image look more flat. And so, you know, what's in the back looks a lot closer. But anyway, that's photography. But, you know, it's hard to tell how far he is behind. But you can look at the footage. I watched the footage over. I probably spent 2 hours looking for something. And I'll get into that in a minute. And I couldn't find it, but I saw it when it happened. Because I was paying attention to what was going on. So, you go ahead and go to the next picture, if you would. We'll hit the one with the Pope. Because this happened in 2018, too. And everybody's seen this picture before. I call it the classic. Trump's got a smile that looks like the cat that just ate the canary. And the Pope looks like he just had his canary eaten. There's other pictures of the Pope with Obama at the White House, just yucking it up, having a good time, enjoying, you know, literally looked like they were telling jokes back and forth. What happened when he met Trump? That picture will show up sooner or later. Trump's got this huge smile, and the Pope looks downtrodden, heavy-hearted, stoic at best. But certainly, he's upset about something. And so, what was he upset about? Yeah, there we go. That be it. Yeah. And you notice that this distance spacing between Trump and Melania and the rest of the family there. And the Trump, the Pope's like, I want to get away from these people. I got to start packing. That's basically what it was.
Look at the smile on Trump's. He's like the cat that ate the canary. Look at the smile.
Yeah, it's priceless.
And then you look at the Pope, and the Pope is, he looks like he's got a bad case of diarrhea.
Yeah.
Or gas.
I heard that, you know, I showed this picture to somebody and said, looks like he just ate himself. I was like, yeah. Why? What would cause that reaction? A little message? A little message to the royal family first? What could that message have been? We got you all. We know what you do. We know what you do to children. We know how you've manipulated the planet. We know how you've controlled the people, and we know that you are pure satanic entities. We don't know what we're dealing with at this level as far as the people and whatever they do, we know is not even, well, let me quote what Princess Diana was supposed to have said. Her handmaiden wrote a biography of Princess Diana, and her handmaiden said that Diana called these people reppies. I wonder if that had anything to do with the shoes she wore last week. Yeah, snakeskin shoes under her feet. We may talk more about that later. But Diana, that was Melania last week. Diana was also said to have coming running down the staircase screaming that these people are not human.
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. They're not human.
Peter, I read an article that somebody apparently was interviewing, I don't remember which one of the prince, her sons, I don't remember which one, but in the during the interview, the interviewer began to freak out, and the son said, the interviewee said, "What's the problem?" And she said, "Your forehead is beginning to glow."
Interesting. Did you hear what Beyonce said about Prince William?
No.
Now, Beyonce is the, I believe it was Beyonce. She's a singer that when she's on stage, something else takes over.
She clearly is possessed. She has admitted it. That's not me. That's, and she has a name for the, for whatever it is. She has a name for this demon that, that she gets possessed by.
Yes. Yes. And she said that she was with Prince William, and I'm sure you can find this interview on, you know, Google it. But I'm sure you can find the interview, and she made the claim that Prince William was the Antichrist. And it's interesting, I was saying the same thing at the time, but not exactly for the same reasons. And she said he has an escort of demonic forces or something to that effect. And he had demons walking with him, or archons walking with him. She could see the spiritual powers that were behind him becoming maybe the Antichrist. I totally believe that, looking at the lineage. Look at his coat of arms. But anyway, what are we dealing with here? Well, these people are backed by the seventh head of two different beasts, but they're backed by, in this case, they're backed by the seventh head of the fiery colored dragon, one head for each world power. And so you wrap up the England and the United States, or Great Britain and the United States, and for 400 years, they have been the world power. No questions asked, they rule the seas. First it was Britain, or Great Britain, actually the United Kingdom, and the Crown Corporation. The Crown Corporation was the business end. Her Majesty's ships were the enforcers. And the Crown, British West Indies Company, run by the Crown Corporation, were heavily trading in opium, hence Hong Kong and Shanghai. They've been involved in nefarious things generationally. They've also been connected to the Vatican generationally. It was the Vatican who appointed kings. The church, the Holy Roman, built its Holy Roman Empire. The Roman Empire couldn't defeat and capture Europe near the way that the Holy Roman Empire did. And it ruled until the Napoleonic Wars. That was a big turning point, both the American Revolution and the Napoleonic Wars, against the church, because it was literally no King's Day. we'll have a president and not a king. And separation of church and state is imperative because it's religion, it's the church which creates the kings. It's the church which creates the kings. This is important, especially when we get into identifying more of what's going on here. But anyway, Ruskella, if you can go to the next picture, I think, that we have in line. I tried to send them to you in order. It's quite interesting, though, at this point. The game has changed. And we see a destruction. Now, you know, you've got the royal family, all the royal families of Europe, and there's always stories floating around there about their ninth circle child sacrificing cult, their eyes wide shut parties.
Which picture? When I upload them, they don't upload in order. They just
they just upload. Shucks.
One of the British flag.
Not yet. Nope. You got to run down the line. I got to remember the picture because I can't see him.
With the lions with horns.
Not yet.
Him in the royal coat. Whatever.
That's the one. That's the one. Thank you. The royal coach. Yeah, you see, we've got a king now. We've got a king that's a president. But which king is he? Revelation 17 identifies him as the eighth king, which springs from the seven world powers. That king has a name. It is in Hebrew, Abaddon. But in Greek, he is called Apollyon. Now, we've made this connection with Trump several weeks ago. But here, this was a view for the whole entire world to see. And the one picture was actually during this ceremony where they bring him up to Windsor Castle, not Buckingham Palace, which is where all the heads of state used to be. You know, they actually closed Buckingham Palace after Trump went there the first time. They shut it down. Oh, it's in dire need of repairs. Buckingham Palace is within the city of London. You know, that's the Queen's residence. It's only when the Queen goes to London on official business that she has to get permission from the Lord Mayor of London to, quote, enter London. Which, you know, she was going to speak before Parliament or invoke some new law. She would have to get permission first from the Lord Mayor of the City of London. If she didn't, or he didn't, they could be executed. That's how much power the City of London has. Think about that. The City of London was, yeah.
I visited there about 8 months ago now, and something just occurred to me. What would you call it? I guess the fence. It's not really a fence, but anyway, the royal thing that goes around all the buildings and stuff is all... It's fake, but it's all painted gold. Everything is gold. I see the gold on the carriage, and then I think about all the gold that Mr. Don uses. Everything, when he gets involved in something, if it's going to be somewhere he lives or something like that, there's all this gold everywhere.
Yeah. Gold is what kings decorated their palaces with and their kingdoms with.
Wow.
Yeah. And so on this coach, you see the gold leaf on it, you know, and I bet you it's a pretty heavy gold leaf or layered on in multiple coats. But yeah, spare no expense. Spare no expense. There's plenty of gold. Come on. They've been mining gold since gold is mentioned in Genesis, when it's right in the beginning of the book where the Garden of Eden was and what that area was known for, precious stones and fine gold. Interesting. So, you know, it was mostly used as decorative or, you know, until it gained value. But many times during the past our history, silver was more precious than gold. So, but we've always been given this gold standard. Who sets the standard? He who controls the gold. Right?
The bankers.
Bingo. Maybe not. You see, are we talking paper gold or real hard assets? You know, I always asked, where did the gold that was taken from the Aztecs and the Mayas and then mined out of all of South America wind up at? A lot of people say, oh, the bottom of the ocean. No, there's very few shipwrecks compared to the amount of ships that were going back and forth. And these ships, they were heavily laden, but there was a lot of them. So piracy became a thing, you know? Anyway, but that was all brought to Spain. Well, most of it was brought to Spain, but all brought to Europe. And in the case of South America, that was a Holy Roman Empire venture. And so the Pope would certainly take the lion's share. And even when it comes to the land, because the Holy See controls 62% of the landmass of planet Earth. Think about that. The royal family, the Windsors actually now, but the royalty of England, Great Britain, the United Kingdom, controls 24%. What does that leave everybody else? It's like, dang, they got this planet locked up. So anything that happens is happening on a planetary scale. Think about it. When it happens, it's happening on a planetary scale controlled by the Vatican, the City of London, because that's the banking cartel, and the United States, Washington, D.C. Not the United States, but Washington, D.C. And that was the military arm. And so You do it for God and king and country, or we'll blow you off the map or out of the sea. And indeed, that's exactly what Trump did with the Straits of Hormuz. Yep, block. Nobody's coming through. That's what he did with Venezuela. Yeah, using the law of the sea. So, He's playing by their rules, and they are losing. They are losing. And how do we know that? Riscola, could you go with the one that was taken last Flag Day with Melania and Donald Trump at the podium receiving the flag? That's where I would like to go next with this, because if you're going to control anything, you better have a strong arm. And this is interesting. This picture here, the president instructed Melania to stand in front of him in that position. That was a comm that was being sent. Queen protects king. Checkmate. And so what happens right after that is that the president receives a folded flag from the Golden Knights, which is the parachuting team of the military. And they said that this is the United States flag, which was in free fall over the Capitol. And when you look at that event, they jumped out of a helicopter and opened up a flag as they were free falling and then hit the chutes. And so that was the flag that was in free fall. And so that is presented to Donald Trump. So the victor took the flag, symbolic of Washington, D.C., is now a freed operation or a captured operation, captured by the Eighth King. Biblical prophecy coming to bear. It's right there. The one picture that I scoured was the same thing that happened last September when Trump had visited Windsor Palace. Throughout all the pomp and circumstance, he was presented the flag, a folded Union Jack, which flew over Buckingham Palace on the day of his inauguration. His incarnation. Flag number two. Captured the flag. Think of the game Stratego. Stratego. Captured the enemy's flag. You win. Now, that doesn't mean the city of London just says, oh, well, we give up. No. It took a lot of three impeachment trials and a lot of attacks against Trump, and they all failed, as I mentioned earlier. Trump remained there. Who were behind those people? Who did not want Trump to become the next president or to stay in office? You know, right after he was elected, oh, Russia, Russia, Russia. Before he even went to see the Queen, it was Russia, Russia, Russia. This has less to do with political haranguing that's going on and that we're being bombarded with, and the birth of the last world empire. The Eighth King, which springs from the Seventh, which makes him a scarlet-colored, from the scarlet-colored wild beast. if you go to Revelation 17, it talks about it clearly. And there's a direct connection between this Eighth King who puts a coalition of 10 kingdoms together. And then what do? They go after the harlot, Babylon the Great. it says, and the 10 horns that you saw and the wild beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her devastated and naked, and will completely eat up her fleshy parts, and will completely burn her with fire. You set something on fire, there's not much left of it, is there? So, Ruscullo, how is Trump going to get to that point?
He's already there, isn't he?
He's working toward that. Right now, and this is what's going to hurt us, you, me, it's already hurting us, all of our listening audience who are brilliant people for joining us, it's hurting us all. If you buy gas, if you buy groceries, you know, excuse me, no matter where you go, right now in our region, gas is $4.50 a gallon.
And yeah, we're up to five, buddy.
You're up to what?
We're up to five.
There you go. There you go. So what's going on? How did it go that quick, that fast?
It went up 75 cents overnight.
Yeah, that's what I saw. About 75 cents overnight.
Overnight.
Yeah.
And somehow they justify that. Well, somehow the gas that was in the tanks underneath the ground that was put there before all the increases, somehow that gas now costs more, and there's no other reason than greed.
Yeah, right now. But we're also in a state of war, and it's not just a war with Iran. That's a small potatoes war. We're in a war with the city of London, the financial cabal. And as I said earlier, the crown was involved in the opium trade. Queen Victoria made 30% of her income via the opium trade. It was a privateer working out of the United States who was working in the opium trade. He founded Yale University. Drugs and money have gone hand in hand for the last 300 years.
That's sad.
Yeah. I mean, not that it was a new thing. Obviously, poppies have been around for millennia. Who figured out that you could use it for pain relief, or if you abused it, it was highly addictive? Somebody did. That could go back to the Watchers, because they taught about herbal medicines. So it's written. Anyway, so that be what the British West Indies would do is they would go to Afghanistan and India, pick up the opium crop and bring it around to China, and the ports of Hong Kong and Shanghai. What was it, 80-90% of the people were addicted to opium? And when the emperor of China figured out if he doesn't do something, he's going to lose a country to drugs. And that's how we got the opium wars. So do your research on that. This story isn't about that, but it is on the drug trade. Look at all the drugs that come, the cocaine that comes out of South America and whatever else comes out of South America, because now you've got fentanyl and other deadly drugs that they're manufacturing down there. Man, no grow time. So who's involved in that? And there's a major port for money laundering and nefarious things that are going on the planet is Iran. Why do you think they installed an extremist religious Ayatollah there back under the Carter administration? Who installed them? Who overthrew the Shah? It all goes back to the money. The other situation, totally corrupt country, Ukraine. Now we know more about what's gone on in Ukraine than we do in Iran. But, you know, we're dealing with Iran now. They got oil. And they hold a very strategic point. What's Ukraine got? Sunflower seeds and wheat. That and a lot of hacking. Bioterrorism going on there in labs that were funded by most likely USAID. And we got a lot of bloodshed, a tremendous amount of bloodshed. So, you know, what is happening here, and what we're experiencing here in the United States, is difficult times, hard to deal with. That's what Jesus said would happen. How long it's going to last? We'll get a little bit of a reprieve, but not much. That reprieve will come when Babylon the Great is totally taken down and destroyed. And that time is coming. The third, so while we are dealing with the city-state and taking down the those who control our money. The final stage is to take down the heart of the beast, which controls the minds of people and is responsible for the demonic organization which has captured this planet. And so, Rascala, if we could get the one with the lady riding on the scarlet-colored wild beast, one on top, not on the bottom, we're going to start off with that picture, and that's where it's bringing this all together. How do we know that this is who it is? How do we know that this wild, scarlet-colored wild beast with seven heads and ten horns, and the woman who's on top, who are they? Well, the seven heads and ten horns are very easy. There are the seven world powers which existed, and the seven and the ten horns are the kingdoms from which they were run. The United States and England is a head with two horns. Medo-Persia, two horns. Roman Constantinople got two horns. Everybody else got one, including Babylon. Babylon the Great. Where Babylon, or the harlot, which rides this beast, actually gets its start, historically speaking, goes back to the days of Nimrod. Now, you have to really do a historical dig on this. We talked about this, but Nimrod was coming home from his conquests, and he stayed at an inn, and there was a woman there, Semiramis, and she beguiled Nimrod. He was so taken with her that he took her back home to his kingdom and made her his wife. I guess she was very good at her trade. But as the kingdom grew and more power came to Nimrod and Semiramis, they controlled more and more kingdoms. And one of the celebrations that they would do is every year it would be essentially a drunken orgy, with wine and liquor and hallucinogenics. And they get so twisted that they would sacrifice a lamb by tearing it apart and while it was alive, and consuming it. And so history says that Nimrod loved so Semiramis so much that he actually made her queen for a day, and it happened to be on this holiday. And throughout this drunken orgy, when it came time to tear apart the lamb, she convinced the crowd to tear apart Nimrod. And she became the queen of Babylon. And so, yes, she started off as a prostitute and became a queen. And she controlled the religious part of Babylon. While Nimrod was still alive, Nimrod became the sun god. Semiramis became the goddess of the earth, moon, and stars. And after Nimrod was and put to death, sometime later, Semiramis became pregnant, and she claimed that it was Nimrod who had come back to incarnate, who had come back to be with his people. And she gives birth to Tammuz, which, interestingly enough, is a Jewish month. Okay, the month of Tammuz. And Tammuz was the first star god. Now, we get this basic scenario repeated through virtually every religion right down to today. Right down to today. Rascal, you ever see that picture of the Virgin Mary? A lot of people call it Mary in a bathtub. It's the Virgin Mary holding Jesus, and she's standing on the earth as a serpent under her foot, and there's the night sky over her head.
No, never seen that.
You've never seen that. That is. Have you ever seen a picture of what the church icon of Mary holding Jesus, where Mary is dressed like a queen?
When I was in Cairo, I saw the only painting, according to them, the only painting in existence of Mary, the mother of Christ, breastfeeding him.
I should have copied that, a couple of those pictures. There's some very iconic pictures that the church put out, and the Mary that they're saying, who is Mary, is actually Semiramis, and the child is Tammuz. It's not Mary. It's not Jesus. And then they show you Jesus on the letter T, a dead man on a stick.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, that's what they, as a matter of fact, Emperor Constantine, who was credited for starting the church, and he had a lot of political things going on, but under his reign, as well as religious. But he envisioned himself as the star god. Mithus. I just thought of the name a minute ago. Mithra. There we go. Thank you, Mithra. Mithra was an Assyrian god. He was a god of the sun. He was a star god. And there is the replay of Tammuz and the replay of Semiramis and the replay of Nimrod. We've been given Gilgamesh today. Again, you're dealing with historical figures that go back a long time. You got it from the very start of religion. And the interesting thing about Babylon is that you could worship whatever you wanted. You could worship a frog. You could worship a rock. Oh, let's worship some trees. Yeah. Hello, druids. Old Tannenbaum, well, let's go worship whatever we want. Well, can we make our own rules? Yeah. How about we worship this god, and this god's really powerful, and he's going to bless us, but the reason why he's so powerful is because he and he's got great blessings, is he demands a very high price, and we really need to show our devotion to this god because this god demands child sacrifice. But that's okay, because you get all these other things like drunken orgies that go along with it, and you'll have prosperity, you'll have money, and you only have to sacrifice one kid, you have as many as you want. Yeah. And that's what they've carried down for the last 5,000 years. Well, not quite, but close to it, 4,500 years. Long enough. That's what they've carried down to our day and time now, to the point where they are engaged. From what I understand, human trafficking has now surpassed drug trafficking on this planet. And the vast majority of humans that are trafficked are children. And there's a never-ending appetite for kids that just seem to vanish. And then we hear horror stories of what's done with these children. And so this has to be dealt with. This has to be cleaned up. So, yeah, we're going to have some hard times. We're told about that. We're told about that. So buckle up. This is it. Babylon the Great is falling. And we can actually start to see the evidence of this in what is happening on a world scale. Rascala, if we're seeing this kind of issue with the city of London, where gas prices are going through the roof, where we've got this war in the Middle East, which can really touch off a real firestorm, if we could see this happening, what happens when they go after the Vatican? What's going to happen on a worldwide level once they go after the Vatican?
The crash. The Great Reset.
Maybe more than that. You know, this could lead to something major. I'm not going to say it's going to be World War III. I'm not going to say it's the end of the planet. Not yet.
We're already in World War III.
Well, yeah. Actually, some people say, well, we won World War III against the Russians because we collapsed their economy. But, you know, that was a peaceful, that was an economic war.
I'm talking about right now. We're already in World War III.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Russia's fighting Ukraine. And let's see, we now have Iran going off with the United States leading the charge here. And Israel.
More and more countries are backing Iran.
And so, well, yeah, we know that Russia claims to be. China is controlled by the city of London. And so, and Trump's North supposed to Korea. Go to China next week. Yeah, not North Korea. Absolutely. We love and communism,
Some of the Arab states are now saying, are refusing our military access to the bases that are on their country.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this heats up, because the Arabs have to be really upset. That whole area, because they'll lose the money hand over fist.
And their lives have been turned upside down. There's one Arab guy, I can't think of his name, Mohammed something or another, but he's a very powerful financial guy. I don't recall. I think he's in Qatar or Saudi Arabia or somewhere in there where all the money's and the gold flows like water. He makes a public statement to Trump. Who gave you the authorization to come over here and basically turn this place into hell? That's not the words he used, but that's basically what he described.
He's the eighth king. Apollyon, he's known as the destroying angel.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And you know, we're gonna have to do a deeper dive into CERN and how all this comes about. But I've said this several times on the show, we got the Mandela effect. I don't care what AI or anybody says about the Mandela effect. All of a sudden, a lion that laid with the lamb became a wolf. And I'm like, what? Yeah. And that little girl on Moonraker who fell in love with Jaws, her teeth are all perfectly straight right now. She doesn't have railroad tracks like she used to.
Yeah, a lot of changes.
Yeah. And so we know something happened. And what's CERN's iconic symbol, their mascot symbol? The god Shiva, the destroying angel, the destroyer. The key to the pit of the abyss, hello. You know, so here we are. And one of the things that need to be destroyed is Babylon the Great. And that's its whole mission in life, is Babylon the Great being destroyed. They're going to try to go up against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but that ain't going to happen. Well, I should say it's going to happen, but they're not going to be successful at it. And that will be the Battle of Armageddon. But Babylon the Great has to be taken down. So when you, how do you take down a religious empire, Escala? What are the repercussions of that action happening across? To think about how many churches there are and how many people just have blind faith. What's going to happen when they see that their religious icons are lies? What's going to happen socially?
You're going to freak out.
Yeah. And that's really chaos. Yeah, that's really where we are headed. You know, what else comes out of that? Chaos covers a lot of things. So how do you lessen the chaos? How do you maintain control over all that chaos? Pays to have a strong military and be aligned with extraterrestrial or interdimensional life forces that will back that military up in order to get its way. Think about that. Think about the power that Trump is wielding on a national basis, an international basis, that is attacking the heart of the beast itself. And I'm not touting the greatness of Trump. He's the figurehead for the Eighth King. And what we are seeing in real time is the taking down of Babylon the Great. That makes sense to you, Ruscala?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we see what's going on. Yeah. There's bloodshed and killing. We know that. And, you know, I had a lot of friends in Ukraine once upon a time. I don't even know if any of them are still alive. That's a sad thing. And I'm sure a lot of people can say the same for other parts of the world. Now, how many of us have lost family members and loved ones in previous wars? Roscoe, thank God you served and you came back. You know, for that, I appreciate you.
Well,
but
sometimes I feel it's for naught.
Well,
when I'm witnessing happening.
You know, Riscala, I could turn around and say, yeah, everything I did from yesterday past is for naught. But somehow I got to where I am today. And if those things didn't happen in my past, good, bad, ugly, or otherwise, there's no way I could have gotten to this point today to have this knowledge of having biblical prophecy and seeing world events and how you don't need religious dogma to kind of link them together. All you need is a scientific application. You know, there are over 40,000 sects of Christianity. How do you slice up what Jesus said into over 40,000 different parts?
Well, that's the cause of separation. That's the cause of the confusion.
Yeah.
I want to show you this real quick. You mentioned CERN earlier.
Sure.
What do you see?
666. Yeah. It didn't take me long. 666.
Take a good look, people. They're telling you with their symbols who they are. I showed a picture of the Shiva. That's the god Shiva, who is the god of what? Death? Destruction?
Death and destruction, yeah.
Yep.
Put up that last picture, if you would. With the seven-headed, ten-horned wild beast and Babylon.
When he finally goes after the woman?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. She's been knocked off. We've got a new beast that's coming in town. The coalition isn't all put together. Not yet. We're seeing step two happen. After step two comes step three. And there's the reset. Yeah, you might be right with that, Riscala. We might see a minor reset here in the United States once the financial reset, I guess you would say, once the city of London is dealt with and the financial cabal is broken. And if their wealth is on ill-gotten gains, Trump's executive order says, they're ours. You forfeit. You lose. You've committed these crimes, and you've gotten this wealth by disgusting means, which have caused the lives of hundreds of millions, nay, billions, since they've come to power. Think about that. I calculated the death toll, and we're going to go just a little bit over, folks, hope you don't mind. The death toll in the 20th century was about a billion people died in the 20th century due to war or issues caused by war or regime change. And when I say issues caused by a war, you take disease and famine, or famine and disease, caused by war. Yeah, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, horseman number three. So you've got war, and then the causes, the things that happen afterward. And so now if these people are held guilty on those kind of charges, yeah, you're going to see a major shift in wealth and prosperity, and it will have to be handled. And then we will see the fall of religion itself. How do you take down a religious empire? You let the children speak.
Peter, before you go, as you're mentioning the fall of a religious empire, I have for the third time in the last 2 days seen posts about allegedly the government is holding private meetings with pastors telling them that there's going to be a disclosure of aliens and to prepare their people.
Yep, that'll work too. That'll work too. Especially when the aliens tell us we are your genetic engineers. I wrote that in Letters to Earth.
That's going to rock some socks.
Yep. Yep. As a matter of fact, if you read chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5 in Letters to Earth, it's all there. You look at how this planet was created, and you have to say, evolution is baloney, and it didn't happen in six literal days. Life on Earth was genetically engineered, and we know that based on the account in Genesis, the second chapter, the 21st through the 23rd verses, where a tissue sample is taken from Adam and built into a woman, and Adam knew it at last. This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one was taken from man. I shall call her woman. So Adam knew the genetic engineers, or at least what they were capable of doing. Interesting, huh? So, yep. Do you really need religion? No. What we need is that spiritual connection. Because while this happened back in the Garden of Eden, it was in the windy part of the day that Adam would talk to God, talk to Yahuwah. Well, what did you do today, son? Oh, I named these and these and these and these, and it's because these ones act like that, and this, you know, they all have these different attributes, and so I named their attributes and what they're doing, what they can accomplish. He's credited as being the greatest biologist to ever live on the planet because he had to name all the animals and he gave them names that fit. So the story goes.
I wonder if he was autistic.
No, he was perfect. He had perfect human DNA.
Just
created a little lower than the angels. What do you mean a little lower? Well, we're stuck here in the flesh. We are biological entities with a spiritual connection. And that spiritual connection lives within our consciousness. That's what separates us from all the other animals, all the rest of the life on Earth. We have a spiritual consciousness, one that is capable of going beyond dimensions, one that can transmit thought faster than the tachyon speed, which is instantaneous. Instantaneous thought transfer. And we are of a hive mind collective. When in theta, when we are in the mental state of theta, where our brains are operating somewhere between 4 and 8 hertz per second, we can know each other's thoughts and memories. We can know what each other knows. Think about if you took that genius, that a whole collective of the most greatest minds on the planet, if you took all that data and you had access to it instantaneously just by thinking about it, wow. I want to grow some turnips this year. Who grows the best turnips, the greatest turnips on the planet? Make that connection. Ah, that's how he does it. Thank you. Think what that would do for the planet itself if we all were part of that collective. That we have that capability. We have that capability right now. And so what it comes down to is, where do we focus our consciousness? Where do we focus our consciousness? You want to create your future? Focus it on things that you want in the future. But if you're planning for the future, just like building a house, you really need to start off with somewhere to build it, and then you need to start off with an architecture to, well, you got to have an idea of what you want. So you come up with the thought, and then you carry out the rest of that architecture, and all the building trades that you need to build that house. So we have a fantastic future. God gave us all the tools we need. And if we can't access other genius, we could always access the mind of God, because that's the greatest genius in existence, the creator of everything. And that doesn't mean that we're going to go start our own universe, but hey, we may populate one day if we returned back to perfection. And that's what Adam was, a perfect human, a human who had perfect DNA. Why do you think they want to manipulate our DNA? Why do you think that they are doing these bioengineered weapons, if you want to call it? That's what they should be called. But mRNA. mRNA it changes your DNA. And so, protect your DNA. Keep your DNA your DNA. That's who we are. We live in a very, I digress there a little bit, but we live in a very interesting time. We see what's happening just from this battle in Iran. What are we facing tomorrow? Be prepared. Be prepared for what is coming. You're going to see choppy seas. It'll get better for a while because people have to take a breath. When religion comes down, how long do you think it would take to reset everything? Ms. Cole, what are your thoughts? How long would it take to reset people's objectives? What would it take to do that if all of a sudden, we got aliens and they say they're our genetic engineers?
I think there would be a lot of suicide. Isn't there somewhere in the Bible that says men that try to die, I can't think of how it goes. Men that, there's no dying or something like that. Yep. And they see something that is, whatever it is that they see is so horrific that they die.
Revelation chapter 9. They are actually tormented. This is the beast that come out of the pit of the abyss. It says that they torment the men like a scorpion, the pain of a scorpion, where the men pray to die, or they pray for death, but death keeps escaping from them. In other words, yeah, they are forced to suffer that pain. And then that's later on, Revelation chapter 9, verse 15, we get the four angels at the River Euphrates unbound, untied, and they lead a military force which goes out to kill a third of the men. That's the judgment. That's the judgment. And we've seen that judgment on the clergy of Iran. Is the clergy of the Vatican next? I'll leave you that thought to ponder. The precedent has been set. So with that, I'm going to say thank you, everyone, for joining us. And please hit the like and subscribe button. Share the channel with people that you know, because you're not going to get insight like this anywhere else. Especially those people who claim to be, oh, prophets from God. They don't know why they're even here. Some of them. There's some people who have a true connection. But most of them are full of Bo Pelloni. Oh, did I say that? Anyway, trust in God. Everybody else pay in silver and gold. But again, thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure. It always is a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you gained something from it. And most of all, I hope and pray that you all have a fantastic week, and love and blessings to you and your families. May we all come together in order to survive the situation in front of us. Forewarned is forearmed. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Have a great night.